Salvation. What does this word mean biblically? Yesterday, we learned about the difference between earthly salvation and eternal salvation, with a lot of emphasis on earthly or temporal salvation in the Bible. Now today, what about eternal salvation? Does the Bible say very much about it? Hi friends, I'm Lucas Kitchen and this is Grace in Focus. I'm very glad you've chosen to be here with us today. Be sure to visit our website, faithalone.org, to learn more about the Grace Evangelical Society and take advantage of our many resources. We'll talk more about that at the end of today's broadcast. Let's begin today's discussion, a continuation from yesterday, about the meaning of saved and salvation in the Bible. Here now is your discussion leaders with Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, we've been going through the most misunderstood words in the Bible. In the last broadcast, we started talking about the word saved and salvation. Contrary to what you might think, the Bible, when it says saved or salvation, doesn't always mean salvation from hell. It doesn't always mean being born again and going to heaven when you die. In fact, that's probably what it doesn't mean. We went over a lot of the Old Testament evidence about what salvation means. Like when David was talking about being saved from his enemies, he wasn't speaking metaphorically about, you know, demons or Satan or whatever. He was talking literally. He
right.
was thanking God for salvation from the actual Philistines, actual guys who were ready to slit his throat. And he was thankful to God that he was saved from those enemies.
That's exactly right.
We're also talking about people being saved from poverty. And that is a legitimate biblical use of the word salvation. When God saves the poor out of their trouble,
right.
God is actually delivering them from some earthly calamity. And that is a biblical use of the word saved.
Right.
Well, what about the New Testament? Does the New Testament start to spiritualize the word saved? Is it true that in the New Testament, every time the word saved appears, it always means eternal salvation? Well, in the last episode, we began exploring some of that evidence, and we determined that it was not true. There is earthly salvation in the New Testament, too. And Bob, what were some of the examples of that?
Well, remember the disciples are in their boat, and the boat's sinking, and they say, Lord, save us, we're perishing. Or Peter's walking on water, and he takes his eyes off Jesus, starts to drown, and says, Lord, save me.
And so those are two New Testament examples of salvation from drowning.
Right.
So we need to be aware, as good Bible students, that the New Testament, even when it talks about salvation, it could be talking about earthly salvation. We need to look at the context to determine what that word means in that context.
Yeah, not only should we think it's possible, we should realize more often than not, it's referring to earthly salvation. About 7 times out of 10, it's rare when it refers to what we would think of as everlasting life. Now, we can look at some of those examples, but it's relatively rare.
Well, that is an astounding statement, because the way Christians speak, the way we use the word salvation, it would make it seem like the Bible means salvation from hell 100% of the time. But you're saying it's not even close to 100%. It's not even close to 70%.
Right. In the Old Testament, it's never. In the New Testament, it's about 30%.
So what are some of the uses in the New Testament of saved in an eternal sense?
All right. One example would be John 3:17. We all know John 3:16, right? Should not perish but have everlasting life. And then verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Clearly by saved, he means having everlasting life.
Because that's in the context. He's talking
right.
about eternal life, and so you know the condemnation is eternal. And so when he's talking about salvation, given that whole context, that whole conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus about being born again, clearly salvation there is eternal salvation.
Right. And notice, by the way, that he also explains in verse 17 what perishing means in verse 16. He says, he didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world. To perish is to be condemned. Another example would be a very famous one, which is sometimes misunderstood, Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
So Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
You know, the funny thing is, I was recently emailing a Bible scholar, and I pointed out that this verse says that a person gains everlasting life by grace through faith apart from works. And he said, oh no, Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says nothing about everlasting life. It just talks about being saved. And I was kind of surprised because I thought Bible scholars would know that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is built off of Ephesians 2, 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. That's regeneration. That's the new birth. That's giving us eternal life. Made us alive together with Christ, parentheses, by grace you have been saved. Now in verse 8, when he repeats, by grace you have been saved, and then he adds, through faith, the salvation he's talking about is being made alive. Now let me give you an example that's a little more controversial. Look at Acts 16, verses 30 and 31.
Acts 16, 30 and 31 says this, "And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household."
I think this verse is saying that if the Philippian jailer and his household would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be born again, they would receive everlasting life. However, the late R.C. Sproul, in one of his books, commented that this might be talking about some other kind of salvation. Maybe it's talking about salvation from Rome, because if the prisoners escape, the jailer could be put to death. But that doesn't fit this context, because in this context, none of the prisoners escaped. The jailer's not in danger of being put to death. The jailer is clearly asking about salvation from eternal condemnation. And if you read the verses which follow, Paul preached to them about Christ, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So this is referring to the new birth, but even it is not automatic. Don't we all love, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved? Right. But even there, we should ask the question, what type of salvation?
Yeah, you need to at least ask that question. At Grace Evangelical Society, our passion is for people to be clear about the saving message. We want to make it clear ourselves, and we want to train other people to evangelize clearly that salvation really is by faith alone, apart from works. We feel like many, many people evangelize incorrectly. They introduce works into the condition of salvation. Well, let me ask you this question, Bob. What difference does knowing that salvation can refer to earthly salvation in the New Testament, what difference does that make to evangelism and to evangelizing clearly?
Okay, well, let's say we're confused about various verses dealing with salvation. Then when we evangelize, we may tell people that they need to work for their salvation. We may tell them that they need to confess their sins, or they need to confess Christ.
Because the New Testament clearly does, absolutely no question, make salvation depend on some of these conditions, such as the prayers of others, such as persevering in persecution, such as confessing Christ. And we would agree there is a salvation if you do those things. But here's where we disagree. What kind of salvation is it? Is it eternal? Is it earthly? What is it?
Absolutely. And the confusion becomes so great that, number one, not only can't you share your faith clearly, but number two, you lack assurance yourself, because you say, I wonder if I meet all these requirements. If we are misexplaining God's word, we are not achieving the purposes for God's word that God wants it to achieve. And so it makes a big difference.
Let's just use two examples where this might make a big difference. James 5:15, this is a verse that you know very well. It says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Now, someone might take that verse, and if they think that salvation always means salvation from hell, they'll take that verse and they will reason, well, in order to be saved, you need the prayers of others. That's a condition of salvation in addition to faith.
Right.
And we would say that's a mistake. Why?
Well, because what he's talking about here is deliverance from illness, from disease. And that's why many of the current translations say the prayer of faith will heal the sick.
Right, because that's the type of salvation that's being spoken of there.
But it's the same word in James 5:15 that we get in James 5:20. Sozo. Same word.
So if someone reading the Bible and thinking that salvation always means salvation from hell, they're going to read James 5:15 and think to themselves, well, I need the prayers of others in order to be saved from hell. And that's misinterpreting the verse because you're not considering that salvation might have more than one meaning. Let's take another example, Bob. Matthew 24, verse 13, he who endures until the end shall be saved. Doesn't that mean that eternal salvation, being saved from hell, means you have to endure until the end?
This verse is so misunderstood and so confused. First of all, the context in Matthew 24 and 25 is Jesus talking about the end times. He's talking about the tribulation and what follows. And so the end here is the end of the 7-year tribulation period. The rapture will occur when all of us who are alive in Christ will be caught up and meet the Lord in the air with the dead in Christ rising first, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And then those who are left behind, many of them will come to faith. And it says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. That's the end of the tribulation. That's not the end of our lives in this life. Secondly, the word save is only used one other time in Matthew 24, and it's in verse 22. Could you read that verse?
And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened.
Now, there's another issue here of what the elect means. I think this is referring to Israel, because Israel is God's chosen people. And what he's saying is, unless the 7 years of the tribulation were kept to 7 years of 360 days per year, not a single person would survive the tribulation. So what Matthew 24:13 is saying is the one who endures in their faith till the end of the tribulation will survive the tribulation. Or another way of saying that is every single person who is alive at the end of the tribulation who is a believer will be one who is faithful. If they're an unfaithful believer, they will die during the 7 years.
Well, that gives us a lot to think about, Bob. The next time you read the Bible and you see the word saved or salvation, here's what I'd like you to do. Ask yourself the question, salvation from what? Is this an earthly salvation? Is this an eternal salvation? Here's a clue. There's only one condition to be eternally saved, and that is to believe in Jesus for eternal life. If any other condition is put on the salvation that you're reading about in the New Testament, I want you to look at the context and ask yourself, is this an earthly type of salvation? If you do that, it'll really make the Bible come alive to you.
Well, thanks, gentlemen. Context is everything when we're trying to determine the meaning of a word like saved in the Bible. If this has raised a question, or if you have a comment on today's discussion, feel free to send them to us. Email us at radio@faithalone.org. I'd like to encourage you to sign up for our free blog notifications at faithalone.org. You can also sign up for a free subscription to our bi-monthly magazine, Grace in Focus. At faithalone.org, every edition has great articles, answers to questions you may be asking, issues similar to the ones discussed on this program. I hope you'll take advantage of these opportunities at faithalone.org. I also would encourage a gift to this ministry at faithalone.org. It would help to sustain this ministry, and we do appreciate that. You can also find news about upcoming conferences and events at faithalone.org. Now, tomorrow, we'll look at another misunderstood Bible word, the word lost. We're very familiar with what we usually mean by it, but what does this word mean in the Bible? That is what we'll discuss tomorrow. Until then, I'm Lucas Kitchen. Let's keep grace in focus.